Last week we were talking about Eizer Kenegdoi and how Hashem Yisbarach gives us in life thousands and thousands of Kenegdois. Kenegdo, everything is Kenegit, Kenegit. And the whole process of becoming a mensch, of becoming a person that takes responsibility for his midas, especially we spoke in the context of marriage, where a person grows up being completely independent on his own, not ever having to make a cheshbon of what to say and how to act and where to be at what time, to have a chrayus. So Hashem places us in this world that's called Eizer Kenegdo, and the greatest Eizer that we have in life are the Kenegdos that Hashem puts in our path to grow, to help us grow. And I said last week that this Masa Shabbos we would enter into the Lamaisa, this Inyan of Bir Hamidus. We began the whole subject with the Torah from the Madrega Sa'odom, the altar from the Vardik. And we're going to return to his teachings. He asks a question that every one of us has wondered about when we learn Bereishis. And there are many, many speeches that are given when it comes to the parasha, the shidduch, Rivki Imenu, and the test of Rivki Imenu to see whether she was worthy to enter into the house of Avraham Avinu to marry Yitzchak Avinu. And all of us have wondered, would we have passed the test? It doesn't seem like it's such a gewaldige bechina, such a hard test to have passed. And Bechlal, the Mefarshim ask, that how is it possible from such a small detail, a particular inyan, how is it possible for Eliezer to come to the conclusion of Isa Chachtel Yitzchak, that Hashem has revealed by this test that Hashem has proven that she is the one who is worthy to come to the house of Avraham Avinu to build the entire Klal Yisrael from this woman, because she gave the animals to drink and she gave everybody a drink. It was very nice. How was Eliezer relying upon that to build all of Klal Yisrael? How did he know from that particular event that took place that she was a person who was a mishlemes b'chol amidas, that she was somebody that was whole and great in all of amidas? It could be that she was somebody that was majoring in chesed. And I've mentioned many times a mice that I remember from yeshiva. You've heard from me here in the shul a number of times, and we're all guilty of this. We just don't think this way. We don't realize it, but how in yeshiva there was a certain fellow that every single minute he walked around with a Chavos Chaim Svarim, and you couldn't get away. And if you said good morning, you said, it could be Avak Lashon Hara. You know, you couldn't talk to the guy. He was so into the inyan of Shmiras Halashon. Plus, he was also an Amaretz. So that's a very dangerous combination. But he was with the Shmiras Halashon. And we had after the Pesach break, he came back and we sat down at the table and he said like a plain Lashon Hara. It wasn't a Shaila. It was real Lashon Hara, Deraisa from the Torah. And all the guys at the table looked at him, we were shocked. And he said, I'm working on Kas this month. That was last semester I was working on Lashon Hara. Now I'm working on Kas, I'm not getting angry. That's a different parasha. So you hear this, and we know this, that people are working on a certain midah. So Eliezer sees that this girl, Rivka, that she's very kind as far as taking care of the guests, taking care of the animals. But the question is, how is it from that this prat, from this one detail of hatova, of goodskite, of being good, how is it possible to know that she's not, to know that she's somebody that's a mushlamis in general, that she's a whole person, a great person? It could be that she's great in the inyan of chesed. Could you imagine? which is great meaning of kindness in this area, and then there could be 100 other things that she has problems with. So she's nice. But a lot of people are married to nice people, and then they get divorced from nice people. The nice people, you would call up, if you'd call a Rosh Hashiva, you want to find out, you'd call her, rather not, but you'd call the seminary, you want to find out about this girl, and the head of the seminary would say, yeah, I saw she gave water to everybody's animals. She gave water to, somebody came in on a hot day, she gave water to the, she helped also the car, needed something in the, what's it called, that, in the radiator, she gave to the radiator, she gave for the radiator, and she gave for the other car also. So then, would you say, that's for my Yankala? This is for my Yankala. All this from talk about it. So the altar from the Vardik explains that there are two types of milchamas. We'll get back to Rivka only the last 5 minutes. There's a lot of talk in the air, there's talk of war, of milchama Hashem Yirachem. The emes says that with few exceptions, America, exception of the Civil War, America, in relatively recent times, America has been fortunate that the milchamas haven't been fought in America. The wars of America are fought very far away. The Nevadik, the Altar, says that there are really two types of milchamas. He calls in Lashon HaKodesh the first one a milchamas mogein, but we would probably call it nowadays a preemptive war. And the meaning of that is that before the enemy arrives on my shores, before the enemy enters into my border, I go and I give a good clap. So that this way, the milchama never has the opportunity to enter into my domain, into my world. And if the enemy is kept out of the tchum, out of my domain, obviously many, many lives are saved and a lot of sorrows are spared for the population of that country. That's one type of a milchama, one type of a war, preemptive. You remember 1967, there's still a couple of chevre here that remember 1967 and what happened there, and how the Egyptian Air Force didn't even have a chance to get off the ground. And from there came the Yeshua. If God forbid, if they would have gotten to Israel, it would have been a very, very different milchama. Then there's a second type of a war that's called, that the Altar calls Milchemes Tenufa, which means that the enemy has already attacked, and death has already crept in, the angel of death has already crept into our neighborhood. And then this milchama, this war, is the war to what? To drive out the enemy. Pshita, it's obvious that the first type of war is much, if there has to be a war, the first type is obviously much more to your advantage. If not even one street, not even one house is taken, is entered by the enemy, so then the population is spared. Masha'ena Kain, which is not the case, once the enemy, Chas v'Shalom, once the enemy has already infiltrated, has already entered into your borders, and you have to drive the enemy out. So that's very, very, very complicated, very difficult, and many people die. Hashem Yirachem. And he explains the same thing when it comes to Eid, to each and every one of us. Everybody knows that the milchamas that David HaMelech spoke about in Tehillim, those wars, those battles, were not just battles with other nations, but they were battles within the Tzaddik himself. And each and every one of us has milchamas. And all of life, as we spoke about last week, is kenegdai, is having these milchamas. As the Ramchal speaks about in the beginning of his Zesharim, Shalom Ashal, for example, you have a person, we spoke about this a while back, the first shiur really in this, you have a person whose nature is, when he meets somebody, the nature of this person is to immediately notice things that are negative. To immediately notice things that are not the mildness of the person, but the chesroinus of the person. To be suspicious, and to be negative. Now, since this individual's first way of looking at something is negative, if that negative impression of the other person has already succeeded in infiltrating into this person's mind, if it's already gotten into the tchum, it's already made it past the customs, past the border police, it's already made it past that defense system, and it's already entered into this person's mind, then it's going to be very, very hard for the person to be able to reevaluate and to see that other person with all of his mindless, with all of her mindless. Since everybody knows that the first way that you see something, your first impression is extremely powerful, therefore, the Alter explains that a person who has this nature to be drawn to the negative in a person and seeing somebody else, unless he immediately strengthens himself whenever he meets people, with what? With a positive thought, with a limud zchus, with a good word, with a good thought, unless he does that, then the enemy, which is negativity, will creep into the borders of this person's consciousness. And then the milchama to drive out the enemy is already very difficult. And it's like that with all of the midas. That's what the Alter talks about. It's like that with all of the midas, that a person has to strengthen himself not to give an opening, not to negotiate, not to allow that other side to enter in bichlal. Once the poison has already entered into the person, and he has to now drive out that negativity or whatever it is, that meter, the anger, once the person's already angry, and he has to now try to work on removing the anger, it's very, very hard. Because the person's way of thinking has already been distorted, and he'll come up with all kinds of rationalizations and all kinds of justifications. Once you've already been a little bit conquered, once the enemy has already a little bit of a foothold in your consciousness, so then already you can have all kinds of explanations. Of course I'm justified in screaming. Of course I'm justified in feeling this way about the other person because of this and because of that. I once mentioned to you that the Rebbe Rabbeinu from Shishcha said that Erev Yom Kippur, a Jew should feel like he's standing with his head on the guillotine, and the executioner is standing there holding the about to press the button or holding the rope. And you should see yourself Erev Yom Kippur in such a way. So one of the Chassidim says, "My Rebbe, what happens if you don't see yourself in that way?" I don't see myself in that way. I never saw myself in that way. So the Rebbe said that means that your head was already chopped off. It means it's ready for foul. If you don't see yourself that way, it's only because you already lost your head. Now what happens when the enemy already has crept into your thoughts and into your emotions, and you're no longer able to reason entirely because some of the poison has already been deposited in your consciousness, and therefore, once that's happened, then some view has already been conquered. And it requires tremendous, tremendous gevura, tremendous inner strength and resources to be able to drive out that poison, that enemy. When you've already been somewhat conquered by it, and your mind's already been distorted. And the most natural inclination of the person is to try to justify, to try to explain, to rationalize. That milchama is already very, very difficult. And what the Rebbe from Pshiska was saying, what the Rebbe Abinu was saying, was that most people don't even fight that war. They don't even fight that war. They just are convinced. They're convinced that they're right. When the emes is that they've been conquered, they've lost the war altogether. So the question is, how does one go about making a preemptive attack? Lemaisa, what do we do to keep the enemy from our border? And remember, and I've been saying this already for the past 2 years, that our avoda, especially during the time when the borders of Eretz Yisrael are not as secure as they used to be, even though they were never very secure, and even here in the United States, where we always felt that we're completely safe, there are people who are like stocking up on water and are buying gas masks and all these things. That it used to be that a person felt that at least the borders of the United States were entirely defended. And now that there's talk of, God forbid, biological weapons, chemical weapons, and so on, so there is this fear, even here in the United States. There's a fear of some enemy, in a mysterious way, creeping in under the doors and through the windows. Chas v'chalila. And we don't know what to do. For our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and for ourselves and our children. And therefore, for the past 2 years, we've been talking a lot about this, that to the degree, and besides whatever can be done, of course, practically, but to the degree that you and I are able to strengthen the borders of our lives, and to seal shut the cracks in our midas, and to work on ourselves, that will help to protect the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and it will help to protect the borders of our own homes, of our own families. So what do we do? In the Svarim HaKadoshim, it's explained many, many times that all of the spheres of how Hashem Yisbarach runs the world, and how each and every one of us exists in this world, that all of those spheres are really mishulavay zeimze, which means everybody here knows that during Sefiras Omer, so we go through the 7 weeks and we go through the 7 meters of Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, and so on. And each day of the Sefira, so it's the week of Chesed, so there's Chesed Shebe Chesed. Right? And then there's Gvura Shebe Chesed. And Tiferes Shebe Chesed. Until finally you come to Malchus Shebe Chesed, which is a final victory. When you're able to rule over that meter that's called Chesed. And then there's Malchus of Malchus, when we come to Shavuos, we come with Malchus of Malchus. That means, as all the Svarim tell us, that means that all of the Midas are related one to the other. Every single Midah, every single part of us is connected. It's a very complicated web of all of the Midas. Every single characteristic trait, every single part of us is connected to every other part. And therefore, and this is going to sound, obviously, it's going to sound upsetting, and therefore, if there's a chisaron, if there's something that's missing in one aspect of your being, in one aspect of your personality, so even though we would like to say, we would like to think that there's one little detail that's missing in my life, one tiny little detail, a person says, I have a horrible temper. So there's this tiny little detail in my life that hasn't been resolved. So we would like to think that it's a localized, special, separate little detail that we have to work on and come back to. But the emes is, if you look in Torah Dvar and all of this farm, it's very clear that all of the midas, all of the spheres are woven together, are interfacing one with the other. Ad kedekach, that there really is no such thing as a part of the personality that could be isolated or separated from any other part of the personality. In other words, we have to view the human being like the Rambam says at the beginning of the 8th of Shemoneh Prokim, that what nefesh ha'odam achas, the Rambam says, da, you shall know, nefesh ha'odam achas, that the soul of a person is one unified mitzvah reality, which means that if there's something inside of you that's unresolved, if there's a detail in your personality that hasn't been perfected, it would be a mistake for us to think that it doesn't have any impact or influence upon the other parts of who we are. It would be a mistake to think that way. I'm a wonderful guy, I'm a nice guy, I just murder occasionally. Occasionally. But in every other respect, I'm generous, I'm caring, I'm kind. The only time I ever lose my temper is when I kill people. Besides that, I'm the nicest guy in the world. The Svarma Kedoshim tell us that even though a problem can begin in a certain particular detail, but from that prat, from that detail that hasn't, from that tiny little point of the person that hasn't been worked out, the effect, the ultimate effect of that detail that's unresolved can be systemic. It can affect the entire organism. So this sounds like something which is pretty upsetting. So then we all feel, God forbid, so what's the point? We might as well quit. So everybody here knows it's not my mahalach, even though we're learning a little bit from the Vardik tonight. I would certainly not bring this in if it was something that was going to make us feel, chas v'sholom, that we don't have the koiches to succeed. Or if, God forbid, this was something which was negative. Because you know there's a klal, there's a rule in all of Yiddishkeit, that if something is true in Peronius, Chazal say in a negative way, then Allah has kama v'kama, how much infinitely more so? And in one place it says 500 times more so. Can it be understood in a positive way? And this very mitzias of all of the midas, of all of the characteristic traits being interlocked and interwoven, which is a frightening thought, that thought itself is a Pesach tikvah, is really the opening to give each and every one of us hope. Let me explain. The same way that it's possible that from one mistake, from one dysfunctional part of myself, it's possible, God forbid, to affect the entire system. So lachas kama v'kama v'miyatoiva kfulu mechutelus, infinitely more so. If a person is misakein, listen, because this is the part I wanted to hear more. If a person is misakein, if a person works to repair, to fix, delay shalom with all of his heart, that it should be the most shlemus to work on one little prat, one little detail of his life that he knows needs repair. Then since all of the midas are connected one with the other, all the spheres, chesed, gevurah, teres, netzachim, yisur, malchus, everything is mamish interlocked and interwoven. So the Svarma HaKadoshim tell us that if a person really be'emes works even on one tiny little part of who he is, but he works on, like I spoke about, like I mentioned last night, like the Kotzke said, but it should be fayedik real, it should be in a fiery real way, be'emes, to work even on one tiny prat, one tiny detail of who you are, then that tikkun, that work that you're doing to repair that little kechuta saira, that little tiny little hair's breadth of something that's wrong in your life, that you've been putting off for a long time, that tikkun has the ability to mamish spread much faster, much stronger than something negative. And to bring a tikkun to all of the midas of the person, to bring the person mamish to madregas that you never dreamt of in Shleimus, to fix midas that you think that have no shaykhus. What's the connection between this part of my life that I'm trying to fix this detail that I'm trying to fix, and other meters in my life that are so messed up. But since the person, like the Rambam says, nefesh adam achas, it's one soul, one person, when a person tries to fix one midah, one part of himself, it has a gewaldige hashpa on all of his midahs. And this takes away, if we think about this, this has such a kayak to take away from us, a feeling of yeish, of despair. Because everybody knows that the main reason there were Miss Yaish, and Rabbi Nachman Schusegelenius spoke about this very often, that the main reason that a person gives up hope is because he thinks that in order for me to really, really be a tzaddik, in order for me to really be a Jew, I have to work on every single thing. I need a complete and total overhaul. I'm a total wreck. And because I'm a total wreck, I'll never, ever be able to get around to fixing every single part of my life and who I am. And so Rabbi Nachman said, Hayyoyim imakaylus ishmo, Hayyoyim today, worry about today, worry about the meat of this inyan that's in front of you, this prat. Because Rabbi Nachman said that if a person thinks about the entire thing, he'll never do anything. But if a person works on one detail, one prat, then from that detail, the world of shleimus is opened up, and the person can become an Adam HaShalom without even realizing. He becomes an Adam HaShalom. A lot of times, I've had conversations, people come and talk to me about something, God forbid, that's not going well in life. With a job, Chas V'Sholom, with health, and they want to do something. And there are some of you here who have had this conversation, and you know that what I always say to each person, and I try the same thing to myself, is don't come up with this grand, unbelievable, big thing. Because it'll never be. Because if someone, if you think that you have to take this huge burden upon yourself, you'll never do it. But try to think of one thing, one meter, one part, one tiny little piece of your life that you know for the last 10, 15, 20 years, you've been putting this off. And concentrate on this one tiny little detail. But do it real, heartsick. And be moisa nefesh of that one detail. And from there you're going to see, and it's true. It's not Weinberger that's making a promise, man. This is an asvara. That from that detail, from that tiny part of your life, there could be a very big Yeshua. Because we know that if anybody were to ask me or you, like the Maisa from Baditshava, which I'm sure you remember I mentioned once, that it was during the month of Elul. They used to have these wagons that were fix-it wagons. I'm sure you remember that there were trucks that used to go around. I remember growing up, and there was a truck that went around with a bell. And they used to sharpen scissors and knives and stuff like that. You know what I'm talking about. There were trucks like that. Handymen. Fix-it men. So in Badishev, there was somebody that was going in, and there was a non-Jew, that he had one of these wagons, and he was going around fixing. And he came to Kedusha Levi's house, he knocked on the door, and the Badishev opened the door and smiled, and the fellow said, "Hey, Rabbi and Rabbi, do you need anything fixed?" And the Badishev fainted. And when they brought him to, he opened his eyes and he said, "How did he know? Who told him? Who told him?" So can you imagine? Because that's all he was thinking about. Is what? Is fixing, fixing. So this guy says, "Rebbe, you need something fixed?" Boom, on the floor. "Do I need something fixed?" If anybody would come to me, would come to you. Say, "What is it that you need something to fix inside of yourself?" So who wouldn't cry and say, "Is there something that doesn't need to be fixed? Is there something that's, is there anything inside of me that's good? Is there something that doesn't need a major overhaul?" But because the person thinks that he's Chas V'Sholom, and it's not true, but we think this way, that a person thinks that he's Chas V'Sholom, that he's a mushchis b'chol amidis, that he's a mushchis, that he's terrible, he's disgusting, that everything in his life, Ad kedei kach, that he doesn't even know where to begin. Where do I even begin? And he sees himself as being, when we talk about the war, forget about a preemptive strike, he's been completely conquered. I've been overrun. I'm completely in the hands of the enemy. I'm a slave. I work for the enemy, chas v'shalom. I work for the Sitra Achra. So Mimela, we go most of our lives without ever changing, really without really making any major changes. And I've said this very often, it happens a lot of times. I mentioned this before the summer. If I think how many times I've had, usually happens with girls, the girl will come in and say she's engaged to a guy, but she's having certain sphakas. What does sphakas mean? She's having doubts. Oh, so I say, what's wrong? So she'll say, no, I don't know, he's very judgmental, he criticizes me all the time, he's nasty, he's selfish, he's not as religious as I thought he was, he's disrespectful to his parents, he doesn't have any job and he doesn't expect to have any job. So, you know, when I listen to this, and this is, I've had this hundreds of times, it's usually the girl that's saying this stuff. So I'm listening to the girl, she's going over this whole thing. Oh yeah, I forgot, Rabbi, he also dabbles in alcohol and occasionally has some struggles with other things. Are you finished? No. He also has been flirting with my best friend. So this is like a whole chagadya. A whole chagadya. So, you know, yeah, you want to be nice. So I'll say, well, anything positive? If anything nice, you're engaged to him. Anything nice to say about your chosen? 99% of the time, this is what the girl says. He says he loves me. I said that's a gewaldige thing. But I think we need to talk a little bit about the other things. This is something which happens keseder. Which happens keseder. And I always tell these young ladies, I don't want to shter a shidduch. I would never, I don't want to break up any match. After all, you seem so happy together. I don't want to break up a match, but what you know me yesterday, why are you marrying him? So then she'll go into this discussion. This happens all the time. I have at least one or two of these discussions a week. The next part of the discussion is, he told me he'll change. In other words, right now, every single day, whatever you do, he criticizes you, yeah? He started first to go out, and after around a week or two, he starts to tell you to wear your hair differently. Then he starts to tell you he doesn't like your mom. Then he starts to tell you that he thinks that you should do this, and he should be like that, and he doesn't like that friend of yours. One thing after the other. And what's going to change? So he says he told me that when we're going to get married, he's not going to be judgmental. Every adult knows that if it was your child, you would put yourself like in front of the bullet. Because you know what that girl is headed. You know that she's headed mamish into unbelievable tzaras. Unbelievable tzaras. And that Hashem is trying to help her. Because most people don't even know, because a lot of the guys, well, it could be the other way too, they hide their worst stuff until after Shabbat Brachas, like we spoke about last week. Here you have a guy that they're just going out, and already she sees that she's marrying somebody, she's prepared to marry someone that's going to destroy her life. So why would she continue? Now the Torah says, hey, he says he loves me, even though I'll ask, how do you see that he loves you? He says that he loves me. And B, he promised me that once we're married, he'll be nice. And he'll be religious. And he'll be straight. And he'll be this and he'll be that. And I always say, listen, these are demyonos. Ruba the person you marry is the person who's going to be that way till 120. But derech klal, the general way, it's true, could change. Mostly, the personality is the same personality. Generally. So why is that? I mean, Lemaisa, we are capable of changing. We spoke about that last week, and that's what all these discussions are about. The reason is, even though it's true that a person certainly can change, and a person can turn his life around, as I spoke about at the end of the shiur last week, that the luchas can be read on both sides, right? And the Ishbitzer says that means that the Torah, the luchas, has the ability to turn you inside out, mamish, to turn your life around. The Torah has such a kar to turn you inside out. That's true. But the emes is that most people are so overwhelmed with the chesroinus, with their deficiencies, with their faults. And they think that in order for me to be a good person, I have to do this complete overhaul. And because of that machshava, because of that thought, the person doesn't begin at all to even work on one detail. Because what's the tachlis? What am I going to work on? One tiny little thing. I once told you that in Brussels there was a big fire, and it burned down this guy's business to the ground. And the chassidim were walking the Reb Nosson to go look what happened. And the owner of that business was walking around collecting little pieces that he found that still were somehow salvageable. Little pieces of wood. So the chassidim said, look at him, Navach. It's like he lost his mind. What's he doing over here? And Reb Nosson said, you're going to see that this yid is going to have a bigger business than he ever had before. Because if he's salvaging, if he's looking around in the ashes for some pieces that are intact, that means that he has a koyach habinyan. He's a builder. It means that he knows that the truth is that from one piece that you work on, from one tiny piece of your life, that you try to be misakein be'emes mikol hatzdok completely, that will give you a derech, a shvil, a pathway, a means of what? Of building the entire life, of building one's entire personality. Because once the shalshalas, once there's a chain, once there's already a derech, a maslul, a path that you've entered on, and we learn that all of the midas are connected one to the other, chesed and gvur and teferesneh, all of these midas are connected mamish one with the other. Every part of the personality, da, nefesh ha'odam achas, it's one. It's one. Therefore, Like a Baal Shem HaKadosh, Zchus Yagenlan used to say, that if your toif is miktsasa, if you're holding on to a little piece of the king, you're already holding on to the whole king. And in Avodas Hashem it means that until this time in your life, you never knew that you have the ability to actually conquer the enemy at all. Since most of us see ourselves as being completely conquered and in the hands of the enemy. And we don't even dream of taking over, of what? Of driving the enemy out. And even taking over the enemy's territory. So we see ourselves always as being weak and helpless and vulnerable. And therefore, anytime you feel like getting angry, you yell like in a sugar. Every time you see something, and you have a tithe you want it, even though it's not good for you, you give in to that tithe. You give in to that desire. Because every one of us feels so weak. But when a person takes a tiny part of his life, and in that part of his life, he puts all of his koiches to fixing this detail of his life, all of the midas are connected one to the other. There's a person that I know that told me, and this was a person who was involved in things that were not good, that were destroying his life and his family. And for whatever reason, the tzaddik said something, he was makabel upon himself to always daven b'tzibur. And he hasn't missed in 7 years. And he travels. He hasn't missed a minyan, shachris min chamarev, in 7 years. That's good. His whole life, everything, minahapichu, everything grew from that. Everything opened up from that. Because when the person realizes that what? Even if it's in a tiny little part of his life, he has the koyach to give the enemy a clap. And then he can look at the sitrach on the other side, the malach mavis in the face and say, listen buddy, you might have a shaykhist, a lot of other things in my life, but over here you're not coming in. Over here you're not coming in. There's another person that I know that he has in yonim with anger. It's been a very, very big struggle with his temper and has caused a lot of sorrows in his life, also his family. and he was makabel upon himself that even if he gets angry with people, he will never ever raise his voice with his wife. He'll never ever yell at his wife again. With that, I'm not talking about that. With the neder, with that, I don't know. But he was makabel this avoider. Because it happened, it was the worst day of his life, that he yelled at his wife in such a way that she threatened, she wanted to leave him. The children were all standing around that he was mevaze his wife. And he felt totally tzibrach. You know how when you come to the lowest place, from there you can come to the highest place. So he was makabel upon himself. If I have to yell, I'll yell at somebody at work. If I have to yell, I'll yell at the Rebbein Shalom. Chalila. But at my wife, I'm never going to do that again. Ever. And he worked on this. He worked on this. And now you know that for him to get angry at other people now, it's already far from his consciousness. To yell, to scream. I mean, he has to work on it, but his whole life was turned around from that. Because until the person has that first experience of being able to defeat the enemy, of being strong, you don't even know that you have it in you. You don't even know that you have it in you. And if a person who, God forbid, is addicted to something from this world, and is able and know and realize that he has the kaiches to say no. So when the person does that, even though it's a small little chalik, since he's already fixing one chalik, he's shining in one tiny detail of his life. So the Sfar Makadoshim tell us that once he's already made that decision to fix part of himself, in a very deep way, he's already decided that he's going to fix his entire self. Even though in Mitzis he's just working on this one Indian, but the emes is, Hatayfes, Miksasai, if you're holding on to a part, you're already holding on to the entire garment. Even though it's only the edge. And therefore, that has come within himself, that decision, to concentrate and to try to fix this chisaron, this midah. Since all the midas are connected, are interlocked one with the other, then by working on this individual midah, the person already, in a way that he doesn't even realize, is already undertaking the project will ultimately lead to the tikkun hasholem, to bring this person to a darga, to a level that he never ever could have possibly dreamt of. When the person tastes the mesikas, like Yerushalayim said, the sweetness of overcoming the Yetzer Hara. There's nothing that's as sweet as what? As feeling that you have the strength to be the person that you want to be. And there's nothing that a person loathes more about himself than being weak. There's nothing that makes a person feel as disgusting, you know. And the best mushal, you know, in these things in the world, and I always use this mushal, is when it comes to eating. Because so many people are meshug when it comes to eating. They're either for it or they're against it, but everybody has strong feelings about food. Almost everybody has strong feelings about food. Come on, I never saw him. My father's al gezunt sein. I never saw in him anything like that. Bechlal not, that he should care, yes or no. But most people, when it comes to food, they get very emotional about food. So a person that's, you know that feeling that a person has, that you're working on yourself, and you went to all these classes, and you bought scales, and you're weighing everything, and you have, cantaloupe and cottage cheese for like 6 months, whatever they, and all this different, and yonim, you're working so hard, and you're feeling good, and you're looking better, and then something snapped. There was a certain cake that you hadn't had in a long time. And you remember I told you the story a few months ago, that this woman was makabel upon herself. She was, going to be very, very strong in the diet. And she was meshuggah from Napoleon's. You know what a Napoleon is? So she loved that kind of cake. So she wanted to know, she felt that she had to have it, but she wanted to know whether or not God wanted her to have it. She wasn't sure. So she made up in her mind that if she passes, she said, if I pass by the bakery, if there's a parking spot in front of the bakery, that means that God wants me to have the Napoleon. And if there's no parking spot in front, it means that God didn't want me. She says, and sure enough, I circled the block 26 times and I got a spot. I got a spot right in front. It's Givaldi. And how does the person feel? How does the person feel? First, you're not going to have the cake. You just want to help even it out, because it's not nice to leave it like that for other people. It shouldn't be straight. So you just want to make it nice. You're not a fresco. You're a sculptor. You're an architect. So you want to make it nice. The cake, it should look nice. And everybody's already sleeping. It's Friday night. And how are you going to explain in the morning? You're on a diet and the whole cake is gone. Are you going to say that it fell someplace? You lost it? You were bringing it to a poor person and someone grabbed it from you? What are you going to say? But that's not what hurts you. It hurts you. And it's something which is a small detail, a trap, one part of my life. But you be'emes, because that's done when you work on this inyan. So that has the ability. Once there's a part of you that's b'shleimus, there's a part of me that's whole, that means in pnimius, you're already entirely whole. You just don't see it yet. But be'emes, the entire system is now moving towards perfection. Let's return to the story of Eliezer finding a shidduch for Yitzchak Avin. The mice by the bear, by the well. So now we come back to what in the Vardik is said. And the Tzaddik explains this. What's the difference, he asks, between an Adam HaShalem and a Bilti Shalem? A person that's a Shlemistic person, a whole person, and it's a brach and a broken person. What's the difference? If you ask somebody who's not a person, the shleimus, he's not a whole person. If you ask that person to do something, so he'll do what you ask him, but he'll do exactly what you ask him, and that's it. He'll do what you ask him, but he's not going to think and try to be misboining to understand on his own. What could I do in this area that I've been asked to pay attention to? What could I do over here that I wasn't asked? That it should be something which is gewaldig, which is something which is beshlemis, more than the person asked for, more than the person could possibly need. One of the sweetest things I ever heard Leanne Harb about one of my own children. I love all my children, but one of my children, one of the sweetest things I shared with some of the chevra that I was in Yerushalayim, and there's a Nebuch lady that's down and out that sits on one of the streets there. She's there for like the last 30, 40 years. I remember when I was a kid, she was there. She has a spot, and she asks for things. when I was in Yerushalayim, I was with my daughter, and she comes over to start kissing and hugging. Most people wouldn't want to be, you know, she's not working on hygiene so much. And she's kissing my daughter. My daughter's kissing her back. And my daughter goes to get something. And she starts talking to me. And turns out that my daughter, Bliyah and Hara, not only does she give her money, but my daughter takes her clothes to back to the seminary to wash them in the machine, to wash her clothing for her, and to help her with other things, with medications. That news gave me more nachas than any news about SATs, about averages, about getting accepted to this place, accepted to that place. Because even though you're only being asked to drop a shekel into a poor person's cup, but if you stop and you miss brain and you think, what could I do to give this person some self-respect? What could I do to give this person some feeling of being a human being? What could I do? So then you realize that there are so many more things that can be done with shleimus in this act of kindness. The act of kindness is giving a coin into the cup. And that's what you're being asked. But if a person who wants shleimus stops and thinks, in this pa'ula, in this act that I'm now doing, in this act of kindness, is that really all that I could do to just put the coin into the cup? Is that really all that's going to give back to this person her life? Even though we can't do everything, but we have the kaychas to do much more than we do. And therefore the inyan of shleimus is not to limit the act of kindness to the particular need of the moment, but to try to think and to try to understand how could I do this one thing, b'shleimus mamish, even though they're not asking me for shleimus. So therefore, when we look at the parasha of Rivki Meinu, the test of Rivki Meinu. So the Nevadika says, all Eliezer asked was hagmin, which means, could you give me something to drink? Right? Could you give me something to drink? The meaning of that is, I'm thirsty. I'm hot and thirsty. Can you get me a drink? And that would mean you bring the person a drink. And he said, ma'at mayim, a little bit of water. Right? That's what he asked for. Could you give me, just me, only me, to drink? Ma'at mayim, a little bit of water. And then he said, from where? Mikadeich, which means what? From your pitcher. Mikadeich means, I'm not asking you to go what? To draw more water from the well. You have a little bit of water in your card, in your pitcher, which you're carrying already. Hagmina ma'at mayim, I'm asking just for me, a little bit of water, a little bit of what you have already in the pitcher. And Rivki Meinu went, and she drew water from the well, and she gave him to drink much more than ma'at, much more than a little, and she gave also lagam l'gmalech eshav to all of the camels. Nishbitz says that the water that she gave to Eliezer is Torah Shebichsav, that she gave more to all the camels, that's already the Torah Shebalka. That's a very deep Torah. And she gave and she gave. And she had to go back, as Chazal tell us, how many times she had to go back, and what kind of a schlep it was, Chazal tell us, and you all know it's in the Midrashim, what she did that day. So Bekitzer, she did one thing. She did one thing. She gave a traveler and his animals to drink. It was one maise hatava. It was one kind thing that Rivki Meinu did. But here's the aside. And this is what Eliezer saw and said, Ata hichach tol avdecha. Now I know. What he saw, remember the ikir is here, the midas hachesed, but this is what he saw. He saw that you're dealing with a person who is trying to be mashlim, a prat of her life. I don't know, Take, whether what she's working on it with Shmir Saloshin. I don't know whether she has a 98 average. I don't know whether or not she's this or she's that. I don't know. I never saw her. I wasn't with her in school. I wasn't with her at home. I don't know. But this much I'm able to see. That in this prat of her life, in this detail that was facing her at this moment, she wasn't satisfied with being mediocre. She wasn't satisfied with touching upon the world of chesed, with doing what she was asked, which is what a person should have. You put a thing in the cup, again, that you finish. She wasn't satisfied. What she wanted to do and what she did was, even without being asked, she was thinking, how could I be mashal in this detail of this moment? Completely. This detail to bring it to the highest madrega, to fix this part of my life. This moment. If she would have just done what she was asked, then that wouldn't necessarily mean that in every other part of her life there's the potential of greatness, of wholeness. Remember, she was a child. If she would have done what she was asked, it would mean that she's a respectful child. And she certainly would not want to be castigated or looked down upon by a stranger. None of us would. But there would be no raya, there would be no proof from there that she was a person of what? That ultimately is going to be in that world of shleimus, of greatness. But the Alter says that when Eliezer and Avram saw, then what? That she was worried about trying to do this, that it should be mamish b'shleimus. Then he understood that since all of the midas are what? Are interlocked one with the other. And chesed and chesed shebe chesed and gvur shebe chesed, tefesh shebe chesed and so on till malchus shebe malchus. And all of the midas, that once you have a person that she's not satisfied with doing something in an imperfect way, but she wants to be mashal in this detail of her life, then what? And Eliezer knew it might not be today, might not be tomorrow, but here we're talking about someone who's going to be great. Here is a person who's in the world of shleimus, not because he knew about the whole program, not because he saw anything else, because he understood. Just another 5 minutes. He understood that we're not talking here just about a nice girl. A nice girl, they're nice girls, but to be the mother of the entire Jewish people to the end of time, it's not enough to be a nice girl. He understood that she is a person that's seeking shleimus, and the shleimus that she's looking for is to take one thing of her life, that one thing that maybe it's this moment that came to me, such an inyan, and to be mashlim, to try to perfect in the kol hatzdadim. Therefore, when a person tries to enter into avodas Hashem, into the avodah of tikkun hamidos, into trying to repair one's midas, and now we're going to be talking, Mishnah, the rest of the year about different midas. But if a person, behemis, wants to enter into that meloche of tikkun hamidos, of trying to work on hamidos, he should never ever think, ever, how can I be misakin everything in my life at one time? How could I fix all of my personality? How could I change my life? The avoid of tikkun hamidos has to begin with a person who is trying to reach shleimus with all of the chalakim in one detail of life. And now we can understand the famous story in the Gemara on Shabbos with the mice of that person who was thinking of converting, and he came, remember, to Hillel, he came to Shammai and to Hillel. So everybody knows that he wanted kol ha-Torah kula, he wanted the entire Torah what, while standing on one foot, al regel achas. So the Nevada says an unbelievable chiddush in that, an insight, because we always, every year we try to figure, all of us are trying to figure, what does that mean? And you remember what did Hillel say? No? He basically said, that's what you don't want being guilty, don't do it to somebody else. That's the kol, that's kol ha-Torah, that's the whole Torah. And the rest of it, zil gemar, go learn. So the Alta says, what does it mean to learn kol ha-Torah kula? Tell me over all of Yiddishkeit, al regel achas. So the Tzaddik says, al regel achas means, I want you, Rebbe, to teach me how to begin. I want you to give me a foot. Give me a foot that's going to give me a way to walk weiter, to go further in my life. I want you to give me a regel, because I feel that I don't even have a foothold. I feel that I've never even started. I don't know how to begin. So give me a way that I could begin, but it's not going to fail, because many times in my life I've started and it never worked out. Like all these yeshiva bachurim that come back from Israel, they're going to finish Shas, they're going to become tzaddikim, everybody's going to be a chavetz chaim in 6 months, and all the girls coming back and start being star shneirs, and then you see the guys and the girls, he's not a chavetz chaim, he's not a star shneir. The whole thing falls apart. So what was he asking for? He was asking, Rebbe, I want kol ha-Torah kula, not now. Give me a regel achas, a regel, give me a foot. Meaning, give me a path. Show me how to begin, so that what? That I'll have a mahalach, that somehow from this small beginning, I'll be able to make it to the end zone. Because every single time I get tackled after 3 yards, I never get anywhere. And then I get sent back, and it becomes worse. Teach me to be a Jew, but it should be a regel achas, that what? That it should be, that there should be a Pesach, an opening. And it must be that the Tzaddik knew who he was looking at. And also you have to remember that a leif toiv, a good heart, as it says in Perek and Pirkei Avos, that a leif toiv is most gewaldige midas to be good hearted. And the Tzaddik, and every Tzaddik has to know this when he looks at his students, or he looks at a Jew that comes to ask him, help me Rebbe, I want to be good, I want to be better, I don't know how to begin. So Hillel HaZaken is looking at this person, he saw in him as a good hearted person. And a leif toiv is the biggest thing, a leif toiv. So he knew, Hillel knew that this is this person's ticket, here's his ticket. This is the regel achas, this is the beginning of his path. That doesn't mean that's kol ha-Torah kula. What? To love people, that's the kol ha-Torah kula. What about mezuzah and tallis and tefillin? What about Shabbos and kashrus? What do you mean? But he understood that this is how to build this person. From here the person will begin. He could be mashal in the singing of what? Of loving other people, because he saw in him such a midah. The Ve'idach zil gemar. And now, and now you can learn the rest. From there you can build up mamish the whole Yiddishkeit. And this Rabbi Yisai, this is the way to fight a preemptive battle. Most of us, when the Yetzirah of the other side comes into us, and everybody is defeating, and we have all these things, failures, and faults, and we look at ourselves as being so weak and miserable, and the side of being a Jew, of being the sack in one's midas, is to go with kifus, with strength. With strength. To pick one inyan in your life. One midah. It doesn't mean you can say everything else is hefker. Obviously, you know, I don't have to explain that, do I? It doesn't mean, well, I'm only working on one thing like that guy in the yeshiva. I'm not talking about that. Of course, all of life he tried, but there's one inyan that I'm not going to let go no matter what. No one's going to take this away from me. No yetzahara, no friend, no parent, no nothing. This is my inyan. When a person goes out to war against the sitrach or the other side, full-fledged war, in this inyan, that is the greatest preemptive battle that a person can find. And from there you'll begin to realize, little by little, that the enemy doesn't get bechlal to come into you. The enemy is driven away further and further away from your border, from all of your borders, all around who you are. The enemy becomes driven away, even though you just began by striking at him in one place. But the entire system, remember, is connected one to the other, and you strike at that one place, and said this looks slowly, the enemy begins to be pushed back, the enemy begins to retreat. We understand that's the yisoid of machsa shekel, and it's very late. I wanted to talk about this. I left. I thought I was going to talk about this like a half hour, but that didn't work out. The inyan of machsa shekel, which really is what I spoke about last night at the end, after the halacha inyan that I was saying. Many times we've spoken about this, that the Baruch Shalom never ever tells us that we have to finish something. The Baruch Shalom just says, "You have your machsas to worry about. You do your half, and I'll do my half." You do your half, and I'll do my half. And that's really what the Machsa Shekel, the whole inyan of the Machsa Shekel is. But like I said last night, but the Machsis has to be a real, it has to be a Madei Shalash, it has to be a fire. That's what I was talking, that's what I tried to say. The Russian doesn't say, you don't have to finish, Hashem says, I'll help you. I'll help you. And all you have to do what? All you have to do is the Machsis, is begin, but it has to be a fiery Milcham. All out war on that tiny machsis, on that half. And then the Baruch Shem will do the other half. And that's exactly where Amalek comes to attack each and every one of us. That's why the Pasuk says, Reishis Goyim Amalek. Amalek is the beginning, is the first of the nations. And what is the meaning it's the first? So that Tzaddikim say, then Amalek comes to a Jew when you want to start to work on that one detail of your life. Amalek comes and tells you, let's face it, there are a lot of things that are wrong with you. So who are you kidding? You're going to work on this thing? What are you, silly? It's a waste of time. You're going to work on this thing? There are a million other fronts. And the enemy is going to come in and on all those other fronts. So what are you working on this little thing? So when a person has that first thought of changing, of fighting, racist goyim Amalek, which I told you the first three letters spell rega, moment. And Amalek says that, Amalek takes that moment away from you. And Amalek says you can't do it. You can't do it. And that's the inyan of vayov vay Amalek. And that's what Rabbi Dishon was talking about, Shalosh Shudas, and that's what it means. Amalek always comes and tells you that you've never even started. And you say, I never started? No, because look at you. Are you any different than you were 20 years ago? You're the same person. So you see that you've never even started. Racist goyim Amalek. Amalek comes to take away from each and every one of us that racist, that beginning. And the tikkun, the way to fight against the Muhammad, say he lochim Amalek means the way to fight against the Amalek is not to pay attention to all the shkram, to all of his lies, but to take the Machsa Shekel, which means I'm going to put all of my kaychas into this act, into this part of myself, and it's going to be like a fire on my Be'er Shalash, on this Machsis. But from this Machsis, the Baruch Shalom Yudavim, the Baruch Shalom Master of the World, I don't know, I don't feel that I have the kaychas to do all of this. I'm going to do whatever I can, and I'm asking you to help me out. Tefillah. To pour your heart out with tefillah. I'm asking you to help me. I can only start, but I'm going to put all my koiches into this start. But I'm asking you, Baruch Shalom, that you should finish it. You should finish the Muhammad. That's why it says in Torah, Timcha Zeich Amalek, Hashem tells us to erase Amalek. And what does Hashem say? Mocha Yemcha, I'm going to erase Amalek. How could that be? He tells each and every one of us, I want you to erase Amalek. And then he says, I will erase Amalek. You understand? You do your job, I'll take care of my part. You do your maxes, trust me, I'm good for my maxes. That's what it means by a matching grant, yeah? You do your half, I'll match it. Anything that you do half, I'll match the other half. And Seif Dover, Shekel is the gematria nefesh, like I said last night, the word Shekel equals nefesh. And in the end it'll come out, you don't even know how, in the end it'll come out to be a Shekel mamish, a complete, a beautiful, complete and total Shekel. That's the beginning of Avodas Avodas. Hashem is Baruch should help us. This time of the year there's a tremendous hashpa for us, each and every one of us, to fight against that Amalek inside of us. Tremendous hashpa. Until finally it'll come to Purim, and Purim is Adon Liyodah ben Aruham LeBaruch Mordechai, till you don't know the difference between what cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai, that you've reached such a madrega that you can't even believe that a person who I thought of myself that I was always from the Aruham Haman type of people, I don't even recognize myself that I'm Mamash Baruch Mordechai. I don't even know how that happened, but I'm a Baruch Mordechai. And that could happen. It could happen with each and every one of us. Hashem is Baruch Shem Mechazik us to stop talking so much. I'm talking about myself. And to begin to get to work. And Hashem is Baruch will help us with the other masses. And we'll be Zayich and Hashem for that time. Even though Esther Malka asked for the whole thing, Achashverosh is a Rosh, and he said, Ad Chatzia Malchus. Right? Remember, Achashverosh said, only give you half the kingdom. He's a Rosh. Because the Baruch Shem will give each and every Jew the entire Malchus, the whole Malchus. And we begin now. We begin now. Remember I told you, I'm sorry, I'm this late. What do you have to do? It's Masseh Shabbos. There's no reason anybody should go anywhere. The Avni Nezer said about that Yid that he met, I tell this to every Yid, there was a Yid that began to drink already by Shchoidish Adar, he already began to drink. He started drinking already by Shchoidish. Avni Nezer asked him, Yankele, what kind of a mitzvah? What are you doing here? What are you getting sick? What are you drinking? It's not Purim. He says, Rabbi, Haman said he was going to kill every Jewish man, woman, and child in all 127 provinces of Paros, of Persia. In one day, he said, he'll do that. I'm asking you, Rabbi, is it possible to kill millions of Jews in every city to get to all the shtetlach in one day? Of course not. So why did Haman say one day? Because he's such a Russia, he didn't want to fagin Jews that they should be able to drink for a whole month. He didn't forgive Jews that they should have a yontiv for the whole Adar. So I'm smarter than him. I know what he wanted to do. He really was going to take, at least it was going to take him a month. So I'm starting already from Rosh Chodesh to drink. Because he's a liar. The emes is, the simcha begins already from Rosh Chodesh, Mishenichnas Adar, Ma'am B'simcha. Good luck.